Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City are champions, but we all know who the real winners were this weekend. It's Monday the 22nd of May. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
We're all going on a European tour, we normally start by saying our highlights of the weekend. It's pretty obvious what mine is, so we'll save that for later. Pete, what was yours? How was your weekend?
It was it was a game of two halves, I would say. I played 11-side and played in goal and kept a clean sheet until the last minute of the game and let one in. So that was upsetting. And then I spent the rest of the day cleaning piss off my car. So
how did that get on the car?
Was that a protest from the supporters after you conceded the goal? You actually won that game.
Yeah, we won 5-1, but I just let one in. I was busy as well. It was a busy match and I was doing all right. And then, you know, last minute, I just know how it feels, guys. You know, I just know how it feels.
Humble brag from Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, so I bought a new car. Guy before me really looked after it, had it serviced every year. He was an old boy, didn't drive it very much, and he really, you know, kept plastic on the, you know, protective parts of the car. Like, you know, it's a lovely...
I don't like when people do that.
I know, it's mad, absolutely mad. But he took care of the car, right? Mm. I've had it like a week, and I've already got it entirely covered with piss, right? Because...
Why?
Are you, right, so I... You know the reservoir...
You've got to stop parking it in urinals. We've told you this before.
The reservoir that holds the water that sprays on the windscreen wiper fluid, right? It was empty. So I was like, I'll fill it up. Went to Halfords, bought some what I thought was windscreen wiper fluid. I didn't pee in it, but I bought AdBlue, which is an additive to diesel, right?
Yes.
To clean the, you know, to make hit your emissions targets or whatever, right?
Right.
It's 60% urea, Jim. It's piss.
It's piss.
It's piss.
You bought piss.
Piss.
And covered your own car in
it. I believe it's pig piss, right? And so I've filled AdBlue in my reservoir, and I didn't know it was piss at this point, right? And so I start spraying it on my windscreen to clear it. And I'm like, that's crystallizing. That's not right. What have I put in the blummin' thing? And then I look, it's AdBlue. So I was like, there's only way to get it out of the blummin' vessel is to keep pressing the button. So I'm spraying this water all over my car, spraying it all over me. All over myself. And then I Google, right, what is AdBlue? Why does it smell so bad? Oh, it's piss. So I just go back to this man, this old boy who looked after the car all of his, you know, for 10 years, got it serviced every year. I've had it a week and I've covered it in piss.
And how much did you pay to cover your car and yourself in pig piss?
It's 20 quid, I don't know.
It's too much.
Yeah. Too much in it. Yeah.
Any number you said there would have been too much.
Yeah. So that was my day, Jules. How was yours?
How do you get rid of piss?
Like,
how,
you just keep pressing the button until it's all gone.
But like, how would you rid the smell of it? Like,
I covered it
in jellyfish.
I had to change my. I had to change my clothes. So it's good stuff.
My God.
Oh, that's not how I expected this to start today.
Football was good, though, wasn't it?
Imagine the things he doesn't tell us about.
Mm. I'm too disgusted to talk about.
Let's move on. Jim, what was your highlight of the weekend?
My highlight of the weekend was, I thought it was going to be the most Partridge thing mentioned this weekend, but clearly not. It was an absolutely astonishing piece of commentary from Match of the Day on Saturday night before the Bournemouth-Man United game. And Pete, you've obviously got it queued up here, so we'll just listen to it.
David Brooks starts for the first time since September of 2021 after recovering from cancer and a hamstring injury.
Now, I
just, you don't, that's what's wrong with football, eh, Jim? You don't have to be accurate all of the time.
And not everything has to be really, really football-y all the time.
Yeah.
I thought that Graham Souness saying, for me, that cat's done nothing wrong, was never going to be top as that sort of proper football man applying proper football like tone to everything. But
yeah.
I think that tops it.
And a hamstring injury!
It's incredible. Absolutely. Just don't mention it.
And a toy. Just don't talk like that.
That's amazing. Brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Vish, what about you?
My highlight of the week comes from a montage that Sky put together after Man City had won the... Well, I mean, Man City had won the Premier League on Saturday, but after their game on Sunday against Chelsea, they played out a clip which basically told the story of their season. And I think it got to about January where... In this very room, we were talking about how disjointed they looked, that they felt a bit different. And as I'm watching this, they're having clips, audio playing over, you know, quite sad looking Man City players from TalkSport, some from the BBC, some from Sky, and our very own Jim Campbell. Talking about how disjointed this Man City team looks. And obviously, Jim was right, hence why they were playing it over sad looking Man City players. But I was just a bit, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio meme from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where he points at the TV screen. It's literally what I did.
His friend smells of piss.
Jim, were you paid for this usage of your voice?
I wasn't. I turned it off by then for obvious reasons. So I didn't. I only knew this happened because Vish pointed it out. So yeah, well done whoever did that and used me against me.
Yeah.
Feel better about using IPTV now.
I'm just disappointed you didn't get a clip queued up like Jim did. He did his
I'm not that organised. I was a little bit hungover on Sunday, just lying down watching the TV, eating my savoury pastries. Just leave me alone.
Watching Manchester City lift another Premier League title. It's three in a row now after their win over Chelsea. I guess that's where we should start, shouldn't we? Did you enjoy watching the celebrations, Jim?
I mean, I didn't really watch any of them, I've got to be honest.
Turned it off.
Seen it enough.
The air quality over that, like, there's just so much flair action with Man City fans. They've adopted flares more than any other team, I think to say, in the UK.
They have. It's a strong flair game.
It is a great flair game.
Credit Rich due.
Celebrations went on, didn't they? I mean, you've won it three in a row. They don't need to celebrate that much again, do they?
I kind of get it in terms of they... All their big games now are queued up with a decent enough space that you might as well do that.
This is it, isn't it?
Especially if it's the homecoming, you know, or rather whatever the opposite of a homecoming game would be because it's their last game at home. So, I got kind of get. And also, the idea that you would arrive to that ground knowing you're going for a party is quite.
Yeah, no, that would have been fun, especially in the, it was a gorgeous day, wasn't it, as well? Sun was shining, all the fans. Well, they didn't even need to win the game because Arsenal obviously did them a favour the day before.
But Chelsea obliged.
Forest did them a favour.
Yeah, Forest did them a favour. I mean, what a day for the City fans, though. Despite what you want to say about the club and how they've managed to get to this point or whatever you want to say and criticise them, in terms of the fans that support the club, to see them win a third Premier League title in a row, 5 in the last 6 years. Mm. It is quite amazing, isn't it, how outstanding they've been as a football team.
It's an unbelievable feat, isn't it? I mean, do you remember people were saying when Pep Guardiola came to the league that, you know, he maybe wouldn't be able to cut it. That sort of dominance would be impossible here. Didn't win a trophy in the first season and, you know, they were clearly still going to be very good, but there was a sense that... And we're kind of seeing it again with Haaland, aren't we? There's this real arrogance about the Premier League that like people that succeed elsewhere couldn't possibly do that here. And he has made a mockery of that, absolute mockery. Now, of course, he has, you know, every resource available to him here, but he had that at Bayern and had that at Barcelona to a point as well. So it is an insane thing to watch unfold on the pitch. And this is by no means unique to Chelsea, but there's a thing that happens when teams are playing City where they are so frightened to make a mistake, they always choose the safe option. So they create nothing themselves. Mm. Eventually, someone does make a mistake and City just carry on strolling around. It's like Chelsea, and again, they're not the first team to look like this season. They played like a team of scared deer.
Yeah, but that's what the Premier League needs to understand, that Man City can be got, and they did have a bit of a wobble, and they obviously the way that Pep Guardiola manages his sides, he manages entire seasons. He's kind of holistic like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's not he is game to game, but he knows how to finish strongly, and his legacy is not just like what we see in the Premier League. Like every team throughout the 72 try to play like Pep Guardiola's sides at times. Like Arteta will be the one who will tell you, because he's witnessed it firsthand, and I think a lot of the weird pride sometimes finishing second that you see with Arteta, you sort of go, well, I mean, you fell short at the end, like are you not really disappointed? He'll know how powerful Man City are and what goes into those wins and what they came so close to defeating and ending that dynasty. Like, so it's incredible what Pep Guardiola has done and what he's managed to do in such a relatively short period of time. He's about to do something that Alex Ferguson took how many years? 15 years to do it? I mean, it's incredible.
And the points totals as well. They will probably get 94 points this season, which would still be 6 shy of their most. Mm. There's only 114 available.
Yeah.
Like, it's astonishing.
It's remarkable. Pep Guardiola, he's just an absolute genius, isn't he? The way he has managed to manage this squad, manage the team throughout the season, even just looking at the squad that they've got and the players they had on the players on the bench yesterday, that was almost laughable, wasn't it? So you've got Manchester City's B team going out there getting a guard of honour by Chelsea. Man City's B team getting a guard of honour.
Man City's B team featuring a bloke up front who just won the World Cup.
Yeah.
And a £50 million signing making his first start of the season.
So, Edison, Ruben Diaz, John Stones, Ilkay Gundogan, Erling Haaland, Jack Grealish, Rodri, Kevin De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva. That was their bench.
That's winning a tournament, isn't it?
Yeah.
On its own, like a nine-a-side or whatever.
The thing I did know this because it's not like there's nothing that's been written about Guardiola and his, you know, management throughout his beginnings, really. But I think the thing that you kind of underrate with him is his feel for people and his feel for emotion, because we you know, he is evidently an over emotional person. You forget he's actually a very good orator, particularly behind closed doors. If you see some of the clips from, I know, you know, obviously All or Nothing, but also various different things that we've seen over the course of this season, and the message that he puts to those players who, even just from that list of players I've read, you got people from very different football groundings, people who've played under brilliant managers, whether internationally or otherwise, who have heard, there are only so many ways you can talk about football, yeah? Mm. But there's evidently one way that Guardiola is able to talk about football that really cuts through everyone. Even Grealish yesterday. And we, you know, lovely boy. I adore how little goes on in his head. But from a football point of view, he obviously gets it completely. And the way he was fawning over Guardiola and, like, how much Guardiola knows about football and how much Grealish wants to learn about football from him, I think speaks volumes. Because bear in mind, I know a lot of it was kind of media red top chatter, but all this talk about this, you know, this lost kid, this, you know, hippie crap addicted Jack Grealish who doesn't really care for the game, cares more about partying. He's turned him into like a diligent student. And it's, so that's all on the weight of his, of Guardiola's personality.
Mm. Like a lot of these players, Jim, they're all players that other teams could have got, but they went there obviously because they got guaranteed Champions League football, but it's also to work with Pep Guardiola.
Well, yeah, it's to work with Pep Guardiola, and because you're going to have loads of fun doing it. Like, I understand why players go there, not just because obviously you probably get the best wages you get anywhere, but who wouldn't want to be involved in that on the pitch?
Yeah.
That I understand.
Yeah.
For sure.
100%. I mean, and the way they've won this title as well, as we said earlier on in the season, there was, I mean, a minor wobble, you could say, but then to go 12 league wins in a row and to win the games the way they have, particularly at a time of the season when they've also had European competition to focus on and the FA Cup as well. I mean, they have just got better and better. And I think going back to last week, that game against Real Madrid is hands down probably the best ever footballing performance I've seen by any team in a game, considering the opposition.
Yeah.
Like, they've just got better and better throughout the season. And now they're at their absolute peak, which is why probably no one bets against them, sorry Vish, to not go on and win the treble.
No, they've done the hardest bit of the treble now, probably.
You think?
Yeah, in terms of the
beating
ground
Real Madrid.
The ground they had to make up on Arsenal. That's obviously over a long period of time, and at least with this Real Madrid game, I think you could see beyond like the history of Real Madrid in the competition. I think on paper it was always, you know, City were always the favourites in this, and having pulled out that incredible performance, you know, this is the rest of it feels like a formality now, doesn't it? They'll certainly be livid with themselves if they don't pull it off.
I also think because Guardiola's been there for such a long time, and they've been to a final before, and they've had a couple of situations where, for whatever reason, it's not quite worked out for them. The only danger you can see there being is complacency, and it feels like there's not a chance that they're even remotely complacent.
Mm. Even, did we all enjoy the blue hair?
Yes, I spotted the blue hair.
Edison
and Laporte, wasn't it? Dyed blue hair.
Edison dyed his hair blue, and he couldn't have looked more like a custom video game character.
It was more like someone had like rubbed one of those Tango like slush puppies that you get in the cinema over his head.
Yes, yeah.
A Tango Ice Blast.
Yeah, that's the one.
If obviously the weather was great, but if it was raining, I wonder if there'd be a bit of Rudy Giuliani of it just like smearing down his ear.
I love all of those live post-match situations where basically Sky were obviously having to make it up on the spot because you don't know who you're going to get when. You're just basically completely going with the flow, which is really fun as broadcasters, but it also means that you're subject to, particularly when everyone is as elated as they are, swearing live on air, which is still just great, isn't it?
Oh, it's so exciting.
So Jack Grealish is in the middle of his interview and Erling Haaland comes over and basically goes, "I love you." Like that. And obviously Sky have to apologise for it, but no one needs an apology for that. It's just brilliant.
No. There was a weird one with Jeff Shreves where he was going over to interview Haaland. And Haaland was like, you know, he was like, "What does this feel?" He was like, "Well, just listen to this song first."
Yeah.
And Jeff Shreves was just stood there for 30 seconds while Haaland was conducting the crowd.
It was really awkward.
And one of the floor managers, I think you call it, like came over and whispered in Jeff Shreves' ear,
"Stop this."
Well, no, but the funny thing was, obviously, like, Shreves is mic'd up, so he's responding to him. So you're like, "Oh, he's in trouble."
get a kanji on it. You can count up all the points they've made.
What are you even meant to do in that situation? He just had to stand there and watch Haaland do this little dance with the crowd.
Yeah. I can't control him. He'll eat me. So I think the interesting thing now is sort of what happens next.
Well, the 115 charges.
Well, this is that, obviously. But, you know, that's going to take a long, long time to you know, come to a conclusion. We know that. Mm. It feels like for anyone else to win the league, you have to catch City in a downward turn. Mm. And they could probably win the league again next season without making a signing. If they kept this squad exactly as it is, they would still be the favourites. And it's just, do we have to wait for Pep Guardiola to leave?
I guess so, yeah.
Probably.
But that's...
For you lot to catch up.
That is kind of the thing, isn't it? Like, I think a lot of, after our Ramba reacts last week, when they beat Real Madrid, and we were a bit like, oh, robots, fucking yeah. robots. Because we always expect like a decent match at this point in the Champions League. Mm. A lot of Man City fans got in touch saying it was quite down. It was quite acidic, I suppose, and quite vinegary from us. But to be honest, like, you do sort of go, well, like that's how the rest of the world, footballing world, will react to this. Yeah. Because they're just so well resourced. They have got charges outstanding. They are backed by a despotic nation. Like, this isn't just enjoy the Man City podcast. Enjoy your fellow Man City fans.
Are you telling people to stop listening?
Yes, I am. I'm telling Man City fans. They're just not going to have a good idea. They're not going to have a lot of fun watching the football media, because it's not that romantic a story. And Newcastle are in exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
They'll get their one. They'll win a cup or something, and people sort of go, oh, well, you know, good for the fans and all that. But after that, it's all bets are off, because they are limitless in their finances.
United might have their own shake at the end of the season. Well, I mean, maybe everybody will have a shake.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many billionaires are there in the world? Maybe everyone can have a shake. Like an unlimited resort.
A fair shake at it.
Or dildos. I suppose most of them haven't done that well, have they?
Yeah.
But this is the thing. When you talk about, like, how do you stop Man City, I think we're going to have...
Sorry, I'm just laughing. At Jim's face.
Don't fire manager.
I think there is going to be a situation though, like, and you know, I see it among like some Man City, sorry, some Manchester United fans about like this takeover and who people want to take over, and the people they want to take over are the people with the most money, the people who can challenge Man City, and those are very, very specific type of people.
Mm.
And
forgetting that Man United's wage bill is about the same as Man City's, and they've done fuck all.
God, exactly. Yeah, but there's also that thing of. What does it take? So, you know, we're going to ask the question about how do you stop Man City? How do you compete with Man City? And there'll be a situation maybe in 3 years' time with Newcastle and their situation, Manchester United, and say if this Qatar takeover happens, and City with where they already are, that maybe in a few seasons' time, there'll be editorials in the press. We ourselves will talk about it in here of, you know, three behemoths of the world game going toe-to-toe in our league, and how watchable that will be, because it will be fucking watchable. It'll be incredible. We'll be watching three super teams in our own, you know, in our own country, in our own league, this, that, and the other, vying probably in Europe or the Champions League, or probably the offshoot of the European Super League. And we will, you know, we all just fold into the general football chat, don't we? And I suppose that is the worry. And it's not necessarily something the Man City fans have to worry about, but that is where the game is being taken to, because how do you keep up?
Yeah, I do wonder though whether the point that Jim made about Pep Guardiola leaving Man City, because it obviously will happen one day, whether that may be the time that Man City aren't the powerhouse anymore, because he is such a big part of why they're so successful, in my opinion. I mean, he's the manager that's won three successive league titles in three different countries now, in Spain, Germany,
and he's so
and
unique
England.
As well.
Yeah.
He's such a unique character, coach, everyone that works with him, everyone that talks to him. I've interviewed him before. He's incredibly intense, and you can just imagine what that must be like as players working under him. I wonder, it's fascinating. Obviously, we can't look into the future now, but I wonder what it will be like when, obviously, they'll still keep the bulk of their phenomenal players there, but whether... with a new manager that comes in, whether they can still make the team just as successful.
Mm. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because bear in mind, Man City know how good they have it right now with Guardiola, not just the players they have, but with Guardiola. So making him as comfortable as possible, who knows? Like, he might even do what he did when he left Barcelona and take a sabbatical.
Mm. Mm.
Like, because they can afford to do that. Just give him a year off, essentially. Like, go back to New York and bully some kids at a pickup game, you know.
Or in 100 years, he'll be winning another title there as a head in a jar.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
yeah.
Do not know, do we?
AI.
Yeah.
Feed all his nonsense into an AI.
Oh,
and see
God,
what comes
imagine
out.
That. God, AI. Johan Guardiola just tearing it up for years.
Well, it was another amazing day at the Etihad, and they've experienced many of them this season watching their team play. Well, look, the title has gone to Manchester City once again after Arsenal led the league for 248 days. Sorry, Jim, but that defeat...
It's all right. I'm focusing on my music right now, actually.
For Arsenal at Nottingham Forest on Saturday meant that the title was City's before they even kicked off. And I mean, let's, before we come on to Arsenal, because we will talk about them, What a result for Nottingham Forest. And that result officially has them secured in the Premier League for another season after the way the season began, after all the turmoil they've been in this season as well. The amount of players that Steve Cooper's had to manage and how to get that squad playing. The pressure Steve Cooper's been under himself, yeah. almost losing his job, the club sticking by him. For them to stay up and to have Forest in the league again for another season at least is amazing to see, isn't it? Because it took them so long to get there.
So they were bottom of the championship when Cooper took over at the start of that 2021-22 season. Mm. And yeah, it is remarkable, really. Especially even when you go to January and you think the signings they made felt a little bit over the top, you know, having brought in all those people in the first, all those players in the first transfer window, then looked to almost like overly reinforce it. But then those players have also come good as well. You know, Danilo, Felipe, Keylor Navas as well. And
Keylor Navas.
I know, yeah.
The idea of that even being a possibility when they were bottom of the championship, really not even that long ago.
There's like the way that Cooper operates as well, it feels like, and Forest fans will be able to, you know, tell me or talk about it in much more detail, but it feels like they've played many different systems because they're trying to work out all the different players, and they've stumbled upon, or maybe not stumbled upon, maybe that's not, maybe there's been a bit more thought behind it, but they've ended up working out maybe like two or three different ways to play teams. So, right, you know, even playing Arsenal, just like, right, you know, we'll have two solid blocks, and Morgan Gibbs-White, who's been outstanding, you like doing everything. Go and do everything.
Yeah. I mean, he's a really interesting case in point, actually, isn't he? A lot was made of the fee they paid for him. And that in itself, I suppose, was a sign of how much Cooper rated him. And it looked like it might have been a little bit of folly to start with, but he's really, really grown as they've had time to shape the squad and kind of get used to the Premier League. And he looks like a proper, proper leader there now. That is obviously money well spent, given that they've stayed up in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it's just completely justified. And I'm really excited to see what they can do next season, actually, now, because you would presume they're going to be a lot more settled, unless they just thought, well, this worked, let's sign another 20 players.
Well, I just worry if you're getting Jesse Lingard off your books. That's a lot of money to be freed up, isn't it? Oh, God.
I think they've taken risks this season as well, because there have been a couple of times where Steve Cooper, when you talk about the tactics that he's played in games, has left Brennan Johnson on the bench, their top scorer at the time. I think Awoniyi's taken over him now, but they were leaving him. He was leaving him
do
on the bench
joke.
and playing.
Do the joke.
Do the joke. Do the joke.
Explain it and then do it so that it's worse.
For goodness sake. Well, I was going down a really good tactical route then. I was going to explain something.
You've got to
okay.
do your joke. If you're going to mention the play, you've got to do the joke.
Yeah. All right.
I was trying to make an intelligent point on the football ramble. Where have you been for the last few years?
All right. Last week on Score, when Awoniyi scored two goals, I said, there we go, second goal for Nottingham Forest scored by Taiwo Awoniyi, or you could call him a two-yi.
And I just wanted the quiet to last a little bit longer, but I couldn't help
for
it.
For the second time, no one laughed.
I laughed. It was very good.
I did that live on air, because that's the type of embarrassing twat I am.
Is that why they're getting rid of it?
Yeah, pretty much. I genuinely think Chris Sutton,
do you look back at that?
No, Chris Sutton, I think, said that on air at the time. He went, that's why they're sacking this show.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Deary me. Anyway, back to the point I was making is that Steve Cooper has made tactical adjustments in games to win them, and it's worked, you know, leaving Brennan Johnson on the bench and playing an extra defender in games. And it's really paid off, and I'm pretty sure he did the same on Saturday for the game against Arsenal. And look, they've managed to secure safety for another year. Great to see them there. How much about that win, Jim, was down to Forest getting it right, or Arsenal just being completely done with the season now?
Yeah, Arsenal were really, really poor. It was very late stage Wenger horseshoe heat map bullshit. really, really annoying. I think they have just sort of checked out mentally, and that's a really irritating thing. That's something that you can't abide. I heard a rumour, unsubstantiated, because it was just a thing going around in a WhatsApp group, so Christ knows where
cool.
this comes from.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's going to fine us? I did hear that there was a bit of a ding-dong in the hotel before the game, that Arteta was a little bit upset that the team didn't quite seem up for it. Like, I said,
right.
I don't know where that's come from.
Maybe the
dog is leaking things.
Dogs do that.
Yeah,
this dog story
signed
as well.
Signed a dog.
You've signed a dog and called it Win.
I think, well, it's an existing dog.
Oh, right.
It's an existing dog. It's a staff member's dog that's called
that
Win.
Oh, that comes in.
Yeah, right. It comes in anyway. But I think
if training
is now just playing with a dog, it might explain this performance.
Don't some businesses get dogs in for like to lift the mood in company, like
right,
some
puppy
companies,
yoga,
yeah,
sort of
like
thing,
they,
right?
get dogs into like they have like puppy day in the office and they bring in loads of puppies to like lift the spirits. Is that what Arsenal have tried to do?
I think it's that sort of thing. Yeah, but
is there not an old
perhaps
dog
people
there?
Are a little bit distracted.
Do you remember? I think it was when Chelsea won the Champions League. All of the Muslim players had to hide in the toilet because they were just spraying champagne all over the dressing room. All of the players with terribly bad dog allergies hiding in the toilet.
Yeah. Oh God! All this like arguments. Martinelli, look, his end product's terrible. It's like, yeah, his eyes are watering.
I can't see them all.
Look at the state of him.
I mean, Arteta's tried absolutely everything, and I personally think that Arsenal deserve huge credit for pushing Man City as far as they did. It's just so disappointing when they led for as long as they did those 248 days, which is the most any team have led in the Premier League for and not ended up winning the title. In fact, not in Premier League history, in English top flight history. But I feel like Arteta did try everything as well.
Yeah.
And look, he's rebuilt this club, Jim. He's got them to Champions League football again, see the club in Champions League next season will be amazing, and push Man City as far as they did. And he did try almost everything. He was even bringing in an olive tree that was 150 years old, apparently, to demonstrate the roots of the club. That didn't work, though.
Again, that was already
not
there.
Sure.
That's already at the training ground. He's not like, dragged it out of the ground somewhere.
He just noticed it.
Yeah.
So he just sort of went, I'll use that for my train.
I'll have a weird think about that. Yeah, on the Champions League, Dortmund have put themselves in pole position to win the Bundesliga.
No, this is amazing. Without Haaland, which, again, it's like such a great story.
So that would mean, if Dortmund win the Bundesliga, Bayern would go into pot two of the Champions League. Arsenal are currently in pot three, meaning a group involving Barcelona and Bayern Munich would absolutely be possible for Arsenal.
Oh, I like
and
this.
You know that's going to happen. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You can see it coming from a mile away.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Barcelona were in that horrible group last year and they finished third and went into the Europa League. So,
yeah.
They lost to us.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see.
The noticeable thing about Arsenal on the weekend was it felt like they were like intellectually spent.
Yeah,
you know, just lack of creativity, and you wonder how. Like one of the things about obviously Arsenal having the younger squad is that a lot of those young players are quite good at assessing themselves.
Second youngest in the league, right?
Yeah, right. Okay,
possibly the youngest. I'm not sure. It's certainly.
I think Southampton are the youngest. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And you know, even with those young players, there's a lot of drive for self improvement, and that's I suppose what they've got to look at in the summer. Those. I'm thinking about Martinelli, Saka, Ramsdale, just like looking at themselves and being like, right, where did this go wrong? Because I don't think you can look at. I know there's a lot of like online point scoring about bottling and stuff like that.
It was Saliba.
There is a big part.
Saliba and Tommy Asu at the same time was annoying.
But it was, you know, it's the three draws in the lead up to that Man City game, and it's the way that it felt like it was as soon as. Like the adverts on TV were bigging up that game. That's when it seemed to get to Arsenal because, you know, you can lose a late goal at Anfield. That's fine. That happens. But then you know you look at West Ham and Southampton and you're like, you can't do that to the West Ham at the time. We're in a bad spot and you 2-0 up, and then Southampton's the worst team in the league by a long way. Mm. And it's just there's a lot to rue there.
And if all three of those games had been wins, we'd still be a point behind City. They're just a winning machine, aren't they? So yeah, they've done an incredible job to get to this position, Arsenal. They've not been good since getting to that position, but that tells Arteta there's still a lot to learn, a lot to improve, and a lot to do. And I think actually there was a huge jump in quality in the squad from the transfer window last season. This time around, it has to be even bigger because they weren't expected to be in a title race this season. They will be expected to be in a title race next season. Yeah. They weren't good in the domestic cups, went out early in both of them. So you've got to do better on that front, and you've got the Champions League to contend with. So it's the time to spend big and spend well. They need to be bringing starters in.
Jim, did you see Saliba in Cameroon over the weekend? It was actually Saturday morning. So this could have derailed the whole thing, to be quite frank. He was giving a customised shirt to a fan in Cameroon, and it was on social media, and it was an unreleased bit of drip from Arsenal. So he's leaking kits,
drip.
And that's what that club's all about, or it certainly was about 12 months ago.
Is it that terrible away kit? that one real?
No, I think it's the home. I think it's the home. Oh,
maybe that suggests that he's gonna stay at Arsenal though, because there are some reports linking him with a move away.
There are, but the thing that gives me hope about that is that he's just being linked with some clubs.
Some clubs.
Which
some
makes
clubs,
me think it's come from his agent.
I've been busy. I just opened up this, don't look in the briefcase.
What about the reports that Gundogan may be leaving City to go to Arsenal?
Yeah, they said in the commentary yesterday that City have offered Gundogan 2 years. So maybe he'll take that. He'd be a brilliant signing for Arsenal, but we'll see. On a free, imagine that.
And Xhaka to leave?
Yeah. It looks very, very much like that one's done and dusted. It's a real shame. It's been such a good turnaround for him. It's been his best season. He will leave as a fan favourite, which is a nice end to his mad time at Arsenal. But I think it might be family related. Leverkusen, they're going to offer him a 4-year deal. He'll go in there and he'll be the main man. So, you know. Good luck to him.
Just thinking about that Gundogan thing, it's quite funny, isn't it? Arteta just continuously trying to sign City players.
Just sign the whole squad.
You could sign their B team. They'd probably challenge for the title, wouldn't they?
they won it yesterday.
We'll take a break. More to come.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, now, Jules, look at this. You've got a fresh board. I think this is a slightly better board.
I'm going to go for Dangerous Minds.
Dangerous Minds.
about as many points as I got for my Taiwo Awoniyi joke.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, guys. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's Jules, Bish, Pete and Jim here with you today, going over some of the big stories from the weekend, particularly in the Premier League. Let's talk about West Ham 3, Leeds 1. Leeds are still in the bottom three after that result. They lost at the London Stadium. Big Sam failing to get the much-needed win he wanted, but he did find a fiver on the touchline, so all is all right.
What a perfect illustration of Big Sam's time at Leeds. Like, they are failing on the pitch. You know, they've not picked up the points. He's blaming the substitutes for it, but he has found some literal cash.
£250,005.
There was also some weird fancy dress happening in this game as well. I don't know if anyone saw, but before the game, there was pictured a group of fans that had Sam Allardyce face masks. Did you see that?
Right.
There was like about, I don't know, 50. 15 people, all with Big Sam faces.
Yeah, Leeds fans.
Yeah, Leeds fans.
A lot of West Ham fans with black eyes. So.
And then also a group of Leeds fans dressed as nuns for some reason. I'm assuming a stag do, probably what it was. On US TV, the commentator said, what chance do Leeds have of survival? Next to none.
A lot of puns going around this weekend.
There's a route out for you, isn't there?
It's a bad habit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey!
I'm not the only one that makes bad jokes. What went wrong for Leeds then? Because Sam Allardyce blamed the substitutes, Fish.
The kids he brought on the substitutes.
Yeah.
It's weird because the last person who talks to substitutes before they go on is the manager, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's the one who chooses. I don't think it's... I mean... The whole point of getting in allies was to be more, you know, like defensively sound, have a better idea of what you're going to do. And they looked so disjointed against West Ham. Mm. And West Ham, you know, were good for it. Probably could have scored more, actually, which would have been even worse for Leeds, given that how much of this seemed to rest on goal difference as well. Mm. But, yeah, it's a really peculiar situation there. There were a couple of times when... Somerville was going down the right late in the second half. Luke Ayling was there, and it felt like they had an overload on that side, and they just like forgot about the ball, and it rolled out for a throw in. There were various moments in the middle where no one really knew where anyone else was going, and even seeing, you know, Bamford being hurt, not ideal. Rodrigo playing on with that injured foot, it looked like things were falling apart in front of your eyes. And you know, for all the talk of Allardyce coming in and making a difference, I appreciate it was a small window. I thought at very least his persona would help them through it. But the fact that he's turning on them already is not particularly, it's not great, is it?
I guess he just hasn't had time for his methods to take hold, which is not unreasonable, as much as we like to be unreasonable to Sam Allardyce. So, I mean, you know, very, very little time to
stinking
to turn
fixtures
this around.
As well.
Yeah. Definitely. And I know the blaming the substitutes thing is just absolutely classic of him. It really, really looked like it was only going to go one way when they went 1-0 up, wasn't it? But, you know, West Ham have really got the wind in their sails at the moment. You can tell that they are just loving their football at the moment. Lucas Paquetar looks the real deal now as well. It took him a little while to settle. I think there was a little bit of frustration about his initial form from certainly a few West Ham fans I know. I don't know how representative that is. But he looks like he's just having a brilliant time. Mm. Declan Rice was really, really good. Jared Bowen looks like the player that, you know, was getting called up for England. And I guess this European final being safe, like their season, like a month ago, it was all so different. Everything's rosy again now.
And I do think part of the performance against Leeds yesterday was also down to a bit of relief, really. They knew they only needed a point mathematically to officially confirm that they were safe. But off the back of Thursday night in Alkmaar and getting that win and reaching...
And getting to have a big fight.
Yeah, and having a massive scrap.
Were you caught up in that at all?
Not me personally, thankfully. I was down the other end of the pitch in the corner. But yeah, it was quite raucous, actually. It was a bit scary.
Were you tempted? Were you like, right, here we go?
Microphone in hand.
It wasn't particularly pretty. It was quite ugly scenes, really, especially because that was the area where all of the West Ham family and friends and club delegates were sat. So I think there were quite a lot of worried people around, understandably, from the players. A lot of them wanted to get involved and make sure their family and friends were all right.
Yeah,
everyone was getting pints, giving pints and getting photographs with that big bloke.
Yeah. Knowlesy!
Knowlesy! On the top of the stairs.
Irons! I think that a part of that performance on Sunday was down to a lot of relief and kind of, I guess, just the fact that they've reached a first European final in as long as it's taken, 47 years since they were last in one. And David Moyes was saying on Thursday, you know, when we're not letting the players celebrate tonight, really. They had to go straight back home, back to London. And I think David Moyes called in his staff at 7 a.m. on Friday morning. Apparently, that's what I heard. I don't know how true that is.
I want everyone to look as tired as me.
All the players, apparently, in the dressing room were. Declan Rice said this in his interview with us. Said, "We're all begging for one more night in Amsterdam." And David Moyes was like, "No, you're all going home.
Ignore Andy Carroll. All of you, turn your phones off."
Because obviously they had the big game on Sunday and David Moyes rightfully said, we're going to create a party atmosphere on Sunday at the London Stadium. I think that's exactly what they did. So I think the players, probably for one of the first times in a long time this season, were able to relax. They were able to enjoy it. They could actually there's been a lot of games this season where because it had gone so badly for them in the league, they were probably playing with nerves. They were, as you were saying earlier, Jim, about playing and worrying about making mistakes and things going wrong. And I think after they got that win against Manchester United a couple of weeks ago, that was probably the turning point for West Ham. And I know that's quite late in the season to have that turning point. But since then, it's all been going quite well.
Yeah, I think, Jules, if they do manage to win it, presumably you should get a statue outside the London Stadium because you've been covering. Because you think about, I am kind of being slightly serious because like you are part of a lot of West Ham fans' experience. You know, the ones who can't make it to the game.
At least you and the Coles.
Yeah,
like, stood next to each other.
I think sort of. I mean, you were rightly criticised for the Channel 4 England performances, so I think you should be lauded. I think you should be lauded for the West Ham performances on BT.
It's all down to me. Oh, there we go.
Arsenal have got an olive tree. West Ham, Jules Breach.
Yeah.
Do we think Leeds are going to stay up?
I've been saying for ages that they will stay up and that Everton won't go down. So one of those can't be... one of those has to be wrong. So it's very difficult to say. But based on the performance yesterday, it's hard to see Leeds getting anything against Spurs. But then they are at home and Spurs also look pretty listless at the moment. So it's hard to say. I think what will probably happen is that both will win and therefore Everton will stay up.
Mm.
Do you remember that fan who had a go at Yerry Mina? Told him to try harder.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking credit for that Mina goal right now. All weekend, he'll have been claiming that as his own.
What an equaliser. Is there a more Daesh equaliser than a long ball that was set up by two centre-backs towards the third centre-back who put it in?
Yeah, three
in injury
defenders.
Time.
Yeah, in Perfect. The ninth minute of injury time.
99th minute, three defenders involved in the goal.
Mm.
There was
So
Pickford went up for that original set piece and then he ran back. And I know this is not the point to be making here, especially what happened since. It annoys me so much when the original corner comes in and the goalkeepers run back. It's like, you might as well stay there.
Yes.
If you're recycling the ball, you might as well stay there. Who knows what would happen? Imagine if you thought, like, right, here comes, of all people, Jordan Pickford into a situation he's unfamiliar with. Oh, he's staying around. Imagine if he rocked up to your house and he was like, God, Jordan Pickford's still in my living room. You'd be terrified, wouldn't you?
Just diving around.
Yeah.
Oh, he's put cushions all over the floor.
but that, ridiculous way to get a point there. And it's so important given what happened with Leeds the next day, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So as it stands, Everton are just above the relegation zone, 2 points clear of Leeds. And Leicester, 3 points clear of them, who are second bottom, and they play Newcastle tonight. So it is probably going to go right down to the last day to see who goes down. It's not going to go down to the last day to find out whether Brighton are playing in Europe next season, though. Can't believe it.
Well done.
Can't believe it.
Well done.
Thanks.
You've been to Europe.
Is that all I get from you, Vish? Just well done?
Yeah, that's all you're going to get. But... It's funny because you've actually been on more European trips over the last few years than Brighton have. Are you going to be able to dovetail the two? Or at the very least, remember when Leicester got into Europe and Gary Lineker stepped back from his like midweek stuff to go and watch them? Presumably you'd want to go and watch them as a fan, wouldn't you? Because this is ridiculous.
Are you telling me to quit my job?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying try and find a way where you can pretend to work so they can pay you to go out there and you can actually enjoy it.
Be one of those YouTubers.
Yes, be a YouTuber.
Be a YouTuber.
Get
2 years, get cancelled. Brilliant. Vish and Pete from the Football Ramble said Jules should present. Is this carrying the weight you hope for, Jules?
We could start a Ramble campaign, couldn't
we?
Yeah.
So, get Jules on the Champions League.
A listener called Mark actually tweeted sort of similar. Might work in the same vein. He tweeted, petition for a new show with Jules smashing up pubs on the continent next season. Maybe that's the sort of content we need.
Yeah.
Because
you've got to go for that first away game, wherever it is. What an incredible moment.
Oh, my God, I know. It's going to be exciting. And I think it's very, 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 very likely that Brighton will be in the Europa League. It's still not mathematically impossible that won't happen. But because of Brighton's better goal difference than Aston Villa, quite considerable goal difference than Aston Villa, even if Villa beat Brighton on the last day, unless Man City score like 16 past us on Wednesday night, then Europa League football is what it will be, not conference, which is important, obviously, because everyone wants to play as high as they possibly can. But on a serious note, just for the club to have got to this point, in the time period that they have, I mean, if we go way back in the journey, it was 26 years ago that Brighton nearly fell out of the Football League altogether with that match against Hereford. And then 12 years ago, the club were playing in League One. We were ground shared for, I think it was about 11 seasons or something crazy like that. And then moving into the Amex Stadium in 2011 and getting the club to the Premier League after all of the heartbreak and the failure in the playoffs, to spend 6 years in the Premier League and get European football. Mm. The club have been on the most incredible journey, and it's just so pleasing to, as a fan, to sit here and just go, oh my God, we've actually done it. Because this was, you know, achieving Europe is what all clubs that get promoted and get into the Premier League aim for eventually, but you never really believe that it's ever going to happen. The aim really for clubs that come up from the Championship like Brighton have done is to just stay in the league. And it's hard enough doing that. It is hard enough to remain a Premier League club. And for the first 2-3 seasons that we did that, that was always just the aim. It was, you know, if we can finish 17th, we're happy. So the fact that since then, just very steadily, the club have... You're such an idiot. I knew I was going to get something from Vish.
I just felt, no, keep going.
Yeah.
Shall I? Yeah, I'm almost done now.
I just thought it should be some musical accompaniment.
I think it's well said, Jules. And
Thank you. You
go from that to, you know, next season, you, air steward in a headlock on an easy jet to Astana.
And smashing up a little TV screen because you couldn't get the right Avengers movie on it. Like, it's all glorious.
Also, I mean, that has really showed Hereford, isn't it?
Stop having to go Hereford. Crying out loud.
Deary me. Anyway, I'm absolutely buzzing. The way Brighton did that, by the way, in case you missed the game, 3-1 win over Southampton, already relegated. But it would be so Brighton that they end up going and losing that game.
So Caicedo and McAllister probably gone? Is that where your head's at?
Well, Roberto De Zerbi said after, was it the Arsenal win? I think it was after the Arsenal win that McAllister and Caicedo were very likely to move on.
But very candid.
I know, I was a bit annoyed about that. But that's
not a negotiating strategy.
Like, why are you saying this live on TV? But the Mitoma and Estupiñan needed to stay at the club because they weren't ready for big clubs yet. So very honest interviews from Roberto De Zerbi. Look, if we lose, it's very likely. I think the McAllister deal with Liverpool, from all the reports I'm reading, is near enough done.
Right.
Caicedo, I mean, God knows where he would go. Maybe it would be Arsenal.
There's a clause, isn't there? No one knows what the clause is, but apparently there's a. I don't think it's actually a release clause, but there's some mysterious clause doing the rounds in the rumours about Caicedo. So I think there's
not
probably going to be a. Stop
I should
this. Have
made these
learned?
Jokes. I'm really sorry. Just get rid of me.
This always just reminds us that you didn't realise that reindeer were real animals.
Yeah, I know. I thought they were fake. Thought they were a myth. Like a Christmas myth.
Oh dear.
So I think Caicedo will probably be a bit of a bidding war there, won't there? But you've signed João Pedro already, right? Is Milner confirmed? Yeah. So like three players you've
Milner's
signed already.
Milner's proper Brighton, isn't it? That's a proper Brighton signing.
Yeah. I don't mind it. Someone was laughing about it.
Club wanted to keep
him. Weekend. Yeah, and look, it worked with Adam Lallana. And he barely plays any minutes. It's just the No, it worked.
Yeah.
He's been incredible in the dressing room.
Someone
apparently.
Has to buy Evan Ferguson beer. No, I get it.
What a player, by the way.
Oh my God, he looks like he's going to be a monster for years.
And you know what? He is the sort of striker. He's not going to leave this summer because he's obviously so young and he's only just broken into the first team. Well, I hope he doesn't leave this year. He's exactly the sort of striker that will do so well
Proper
for us
finisher.
In Europe. And we need those options because I think that's probably Brighton's biggest worry moving forward into next season is how the squad copes with playing that many games, because De Zerbi has quite openly said already the squad, they can't play this many games in a week. And we have had a horrendous fixture congestion at the end because of so many postponements. That's the concern. But as you say, if they continue to add to the squad in the summer, who knows where it might take us. Right, let's move on to Liverpool because it could be, well, it looks now likely that Liverpool are the team that are going to also finish in Europa League place, Vish, after United beat Bournemouth at the weekend and Liverpool failed to win at Anfield. It could have gone right to the wire had Liverpool won, I think. But now it looks like United have got this game midweek against Chelsea and then they've got Fulham on the final day at home. So two home games should wrap it up. But for Liverpool, only a draw against Aston Villa.
Villa are good, though. Villa are very good away from home.
I think because Liverpool were at home, though, I was expecting a win.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
They've been on that run, 7 wins in a row, weren't they?
Bit of a stumble, wasn't it? Jurgen Klopp said after the game, he was sort of questioning, he said, like I said to the players, like, who was really good today. Yeah. I really like that. It's a really nice way of challenging the players without criticising them too heavily and getting them to sort of look at themselves. I just thought it was a really, really interesting bit of man management from them. But it is a surprising result. I guess it's just one of those ones that happens at the end of a long season, right? And I think it's always a bit of an outside chance, this, because, you know, Man United and Newcastle look really, really strong and likely to sort of keep their runs going.
And I think off the back of last season as well, they can look at this second half of the season as, you know, we were talking about the end of, like, dynasty is probably a strong word, but we were talking about the end of maybe a bigger cycle of players at the start of the season, given how bad Liverpool were off the back of what they nearly achieved in the previous season. And now it feels like actually there's, you know, that was a bit over the top and there's so much to work with still.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously it was a lovely send off at Anfield for Bobby Firmino particularly. Obviously Milner also leaving. So is Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain. But the standing ovation that Bobby Firmino got, and obviously it kind of caps it off quite nicely, his last game at Anfield and he scores the equaliser.
What a funny looking goal.
Yeah,
that drop kicked it. like Shane McMahon.
Power.
Yeah. It was an odd one. Did you also see how he sort of celebrated leaving Liverpool the next day? They gave him the team bus to have a tour around Liverpool with all his family.
Do you think the players knew they could do that?
Gazza knew that.
What, we can just have the bus whenever we want.
Well, did you see I think they were having some kind of meal somewhere in Anfield or something.
Yeah, it was really strange. It was like one of those sort of tours of Hollywood homes.
Yeah, it was like Firmino, join Bobby for a family celebration of his life in Liverpool. He's not dead. He's just moving on, for crying out loud. To be fair, the menu looked absolutely fucking gross.
Yeah. Oh, do you think?
What, really?
I'd eat that.
Leek potato and spinach soup or caprese salad to start.
Yum.
Main, beef sirloin. Spinach ravioli, bore off.
And is this all on a bus?
You've told us stories about how you make like beef tartare, which is really, like in a really unhygienic way.
I don't make it. Somebody made it for me.
And you
I had spam fritters yesterday. It was delicious.
Were you covered in piss as you ate those?
Someone made you
beef? They made me beef tartare. And they were feeding a dog at the same time.
Oh my God.
Gert roast. Even for me, and I'm a scumbag.
Oh dear. God. Well, heading into the final day, obviously, there will be a few things still to be decided, potentially. Mainly at the bottom of the table, you'd imagine, as we talked about already. So it's all rather exciting as we get to the final day of the season. Right, just one thing to end on here, guys, because this is a big story from the weekend from La Liga. Vinicius Jr. subject to racial abuse once again, this time during their football match against Valencia when Real Madrid and Valencia played yesterday. The game was paused in the 70th minute when Vinicius tried to draw the referee's attention to racist chanting from the crowd. It ended up getting quite heated in the stadium amongst the players because I think the players were trying to stop Vinicius from retaliating with the crowd. But you could tell that he was quite upset by what was happening there. And eventually the referee actually ends up sending Vinicius Jr. off, was actually given him a red card. And the fallout after that is that Vinicius has spoken out on social media about it and said that it is completely unacceptable. He said that La Liga as a league is racist and that in Spain, racism is a major problem. I just think, once again, it's really sad to hear these reports, but it is absolutely right to highlight it. And I just think that before we go, we should mention that because it's a huge story from the weekend. And I just think it's incredibly sad that in Vinicius Jr. And look, I would say the same whether this was a player of any standard or quality receiving racial abuse, but it almost seems even more heightened that in Vinicius Jr. they have one of the most talented, best players in the world. He should be a poster boy for La Liga, and yet he's getting treated like this.
He's even been blamed for it himself. People have said that this keeps happening because he keeps making a fuss about it. It's just scandalous.
Did you see the, I think one of the journalists in the country was sort of said, are you going to apologise for what you said about Vinicius? He went, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, it's astonishing. But I do like the way that he didn't couch it in some fans. Yeah. Doesn't represent anyone. He said, this whole fucking league is rotten. And it is.
He's been brilliant on it. He shouldn't have to be. but he's been
brilliant because he's had a fucking rough old ride as well.
Jeez. Yeah, and like a lot of people will conflate Spain's previous issues with racism and football as being like a select group of football fans, and they'll say, you know, that is the conversation that's always been had about like education and things like that. But Jules, as you said when you started this topic, he is one of the best players in the league, playing for one of the most high profile teams in the world in history. Mm. This isn't naive racism. This is targeted weaponized racism. Yeah. And it needs to be called out as such. And more so than that, the fact that Javier Tebas has come out and, you know, A, looked after his league first, and B, almost kind of slandered the person second in Vinicius by saying that, you know, we've had these hearings and you haven't turned up for one. What else would he need to say? Like, generally, what is the
Why
other stage?
Why do you need
a
hearing?
What is the other stage of this? Do we need to hit, like, okay, how much does it hurt you? Yeah. Like, it's absolute bollocks. And it's just typical passing in the buck. And to be honest, I'm glad we're talking about it, but nothing's going to change. Nothing changes from in here. Nothing changes from out there, because there is no real willing to address any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So it just comes from, like, you know, honestly, like, hoping ill on Javier Tebas that he isn't in that role for as long as he's kept it so far. And this idea that maybe down the line that there will be change. But, you know, this comes from fans that from teams he plays where he plays well and he gets abused. And that's just not going to end, because he's going to still continue being excellent. Yeah. So, yeah, like, more power to him. And I love the fact that there are loads of other players standing up for him, because this is a great example that, because of all the power that players have, channel it and just, you know, fuck the rest of them, really.
Yeah. The post that he put on Instagram, just to quote some of it, he said, "It wasn't the first time, nor the second, nor the third. Racism is normal in La Liga. The competition think it's normal. The federation thinks it's normal. And the opponents encourage it. It's happened before when he was subject to racist abuse, and when they when it was challenged, and I think the league actually said, well, in a football environment, they almost kind of put it down to acceptable banter, which is just horrendous.
Similar to what happened with Romelu Lukaku in Italy as well, where I might even have been Inter fans said it was the most incredibly insulting, insensitive and stupid thing, where they claimed it was just banter to put off opposition and calling it out as racism undermined real racism. Like, that's how that's how bad this problem is. People not seeing the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
And that's if you're taking a very, very generous assessment of that situation. It's awful.
Yeah, it's a real issue. It's a big news story as well from this weekend in football. And on the continent is on Thursday, where I'm sure the guys will talk a lot more about this as well. So make sure you check that out. Also tomorrow, we're back with a Ramble Reacts after the Newcastle-Leicester game tonight. Newcastle can confirm their Champions League football, Pete.
They've been confirming for quite a while, I think.
It's been taking a while, hasn't it? But they're going to be well up for it tonight against Leicester, who will be as well, because they're looking to stay alive in the Premier League. Pete, you're going to be back for that with Jim and Marcus. They're going to be looking back at that game at both ends of the table. And there might well be a little appearance from Andy Brassel from St James's Park.
Ooh. Shirt off. Probably.
They all do, don't they? No matter the weather.
Yeah.
Right, that's all from us. Thanks, guys, for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. See you next time.
Rest in peace, Hereford United, who died 9 years ago in 2014.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.